maintain a love like Christ had. And I'm certainly supposed to try, and so are you, because you know Christ and you have Christ in you. When the Lord said, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love," or charity, but the greatest of these is charity, or love, he wrote that to a church. It was written to the church at Corinth. And I wish you could do this, and I wish I could do it. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself." The Lord said that was the law and the prophets. He says, on this hang all the law and the prophets. And then he's quoted it. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself." The law and the prophets, much of what they wrote was to teach us that when we come into this world, we are totally incapable of obeying that commandment. We just can't do it. Now, after you're saved, you sure do want to do it, but you have to worship God in spirit and in truth, and you have to learn to be truthful with yourself. You just can't do it. But that doesn't relieve us of the responsibility to make a conscious and continuous effort. And we fail daily. We fail daily, all of us. But if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For 60 years, I've been trying to learn to love like Christ. And I'm fully aware that I'll never make it in this life because I have a carnal nature that, to be open and honest and perfectly true with you, I've learned quite a bit about him. He's never loved anybody but himself. And whenever anything comes up, he tries to protect himself. He tries to make himself look innocent. He tries to make himself look good. He's a hypocrite. He's self-centered, self-loving, self-serving. I think that has to do with learning to love, because I really love the Lord now as much as I should know. But I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. But I've enjoyed going through this series. It's been an interesting series. It was written to the church at Corinth, and it's mostly for church members. This is the last one. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, this is a very long message. So what I'll do, when I see the big hand coming up on 7, I'll cut it off. And, Lord willing, this is the last message. But on 1 Corinthians 13:13, "But I will continue this, Lord willing, next Sunday night." The charity, the love of God, is indeed manifested in the salvation of a soul by grace through faith. But the true fullness of the love of God is manifested in the process of conversion to a new way of life found in his churches. Ken, have you ever been mad here at me at the church or at other people? Yeah. Well, our feeling's mutual, you dirty rat. You ever feel that way? Oh, no. Because you've got the perfect pastor, haven't you? And we're all perfect church members. There's nothing wrong with us, is there? Now, after we get saved, there's supposed to be a conversion process in our life. And we got a problem, because the Lord says that we should worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have to be truthful with ourselves. We don't have to tell everybody what we think of them or jump on them when we get mad at them. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to bite our tongue and say nothing and get over it. I tell you what real love is, at least I know a part of it. If you get mad about something at any member of the church or at the church as a whole, let me tell you what love is. Get over it. Get over it. And for the sake of unity in the church, just go on and try to forget as much of it as you can. And if you can't, ask God to help you. And you may have to ask Him 5 million times. But sooner or later, it'll pass. It is a love that is manifested in a true conversion of the individual lifestyles and attitude in its membership. When I came here, I used to preach and try to direct people's lives. And I was wrong, but I was young. I didn't know any better. I was young in the ministry. John Penn, one of my teachers, said something in class I wish I'd applied. I have now. He said, "Tom, you have to work with what God gives you. And you work with what God gives you." You know, that's kind of true in reverse. You're the church. You've got to work with what God gave you. And it kind of works both ways. We've got to learn to work with what we've got. You've got me, I've got you. We've got each other. And we've got to learn to work with what we've got and with what we are. In Ephesians 1:22-23. Now, it's very important in the church for myself and each one of you to let God work on our lives and convert us in our way of thinking and in the way that we had a preconceived idea from the time we were young what true love really is. And we'll never learn how God loves except from that book. And we have the Spirit of God now, and so we can learn at least how God loves, so we'll have a general idea of what is love. "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The fullness of God is love. The Bible says God is love. And the church is the local body over which his Son is the head. And his Son is the foundation. And from the head of Jesus to the foot of Jesus, there was the heart of Jesus, and it was filled with love and compassion. If we love to love one another and put up with one another, now we're going to get irritated with one another. We're going to get mad at one another. We're going to have friction rub between us. But if we love the body of Christ of which we're a part, for the sake of the body, we'll get over it. Eternal salvation is a sealing of a soul. God's love seed is planted in that soul. When you got saved, God sealed your soul. You're his. Lock, stock, and barrel forever and ever and ever and ever. And you don't want to be unsealed. And he's not going to unseal you. You're his forever. But when God saved you, God planted a love seed in your soul. And that seed is right alongside your soul in the person of Jesus. And he wants to teach you how he loves, and encourage you and exhort you to try, at least make the effort, to have love and compassion and kindness like he has. Now, he's not a mushmelon. He's not an old lovey-dovey fella. He's a man, the man Christ Jesus. And he's objective in his love. But he loved the local body, of which he's the head and the foundation, and he died for it. And so he taught us from the very beginning, love one another. You're my body. I'm your head. I'm your foundation. You're in between. Now love one another. God's love grows in us by conversion. And man, it's a painful process. It is a very painful process. I'll tell you who grows. Those who spend more time concentrating on their own conversion than they do on concentrating what other people need to do to be converted so they can be like them. I don't want to be like you. You don't want to be like me. We both, hopefully, want to be like Jesus. And so if each one of us want to be converted to think like Jesus, we're going to have our hands full just trying to convert ourselves rather than trying to get everybody else to be converted to what we think is love. Now, conversion is a major church function. That's one of the major reasons the church is put down here. Matthew 28:20. This is a part of the Great Commission. Once you get them saved, or once the Lord saves them, once the Lord leads them to baptism and they're immersed by the authority of the church, then here's where conversion begins. Oh, you're going to heaven the moment you're saved. Forever, it's sealed. But here's where conversion begins. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Okay, what's the first thing you learned after you came into this church? I mean, before you came into this church. You came to understand that if you wanted to be a part of one of God's churches, you had to be immersed by the proper authority, just like your master walked over 50 miles to be baptized. And as it indicates in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter commanded them to be baptized. It didn't save them, because they had already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says that just before that, when he commanded them. Now, that's the first thing. So you become a church member. What's the next thing you learn? Why we observe the Lord's Supper as an ordinance, not a sacrament that keeps you saved. Why we observe baptism as an ordinance, not a sacrament that keeps you saved. So you learn those things. And you learned that we should practice close communion. And you learned why. You sat there and learned it. You may not have agreed with it. And it may have pricked you the wrong way. And you may have wondered about it. But you finally accepted it and believed it. You know why? You were growing in love. You were growing in love to the man who saved you. And you were learning to love by being obedient. When your boys are obedient, there's no question that they love you. And when they aren't obedient, sometimes you wonder. But when we're obedient to the teachings of the Lord, I don't know of any other reason except it's because we love Him. And so you're learning to love. And once you get in church, preachers like me preach a lot of messages like this about love. And it's the Word that examines you, not us. There's nothing personal in preaching. There shouldn't be anything personal in preaching. It should just be presented to the people. And the man who's presenting it should apply it to himself. And he should encourage and exhort them to learn from it and to apply it themselves to their own life. When Jesus spoke the words that follow in Luke 22:28-34 to the disciples, Judas Iscariot had already departed to betray him. So the 11 men who were right there with him were saved and scripturally baptized and had followed him for more than 3 years. The 11 men had faithfully followed him for more than 3 years, having been saved and then baptized by John the Baptist before Jesus called out and organized them into his first church. Well, that's what we are right here. After you got saved, God called you to baptism and membership in a church. And now, here you are, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. They had been saved by faith in the coming Messiah's arrival long before he appeared to them, and had walked with him in the living hope that he would immediately bring in his kingdom, which John had declared was at hand. So certainly they had faith and hope. And now by the faith, hope, and charity, love. So they had faith and hope. But both of these needed to increase. Their faith and hope needed to increase. Both needed to increase in their case and in our case, as does ours from day to day. And they needed to love the way that Jesus loved, as do we all. Don't ever for one minute even get the slightest impression or the slightest hint or the slightest inference that I am telling you, if you will really work hard at this, that one day while you're still alive in that sinful body of flesh, you will be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. You never will be able to do that until he gives you a new body at the resurrection. And for the first time, not only in body, not only in spirit, but also in the new body, you can finally do that. That's going to be quite an experience. I'm going to have to wait, but I sure am anxious for it. To suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, be able for the first time in my existence since I was formed in my mother's womb, for the first time, to be liking and to actually love other people and everybody else and to love him with all my heart and mind and might and soul and body. I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, I've still got an obligation and a duty to make an effort to learn to love him. I can't teach you how to love Jesus. I'm learning myself. But I can show you the scriptures. And those scriptures are the word of God. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's God's spirit in his word that shows you the shortcomings in your life, shows you where you need to change, and keeps on convicting you and making you feel guilty because you don't. That's the love of God. That's why he bothers with you. Because he wants to reward you. And if you don't succeed, and you never do learn in this life to come up to that great standard, and you won't, he's going to judge you for the efforts you made and for the small changes that the Spirit was able to make in my life and in yours. Both needed to increase their faith and hope, but they certainly also needed to increase in charity. But both needed to increase, as does ours, from day to day. And they needed to learn to love the way that Jesus loved, as do we all. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You think Jesus never has righteous indignation towards you? You think you never grieve him or hurt him? I grieve him and hurt him all the time. But it makes me love him all the more because he forgives me, picks me up, and goes on. And forgive me, Lord, for putting it this way, but he gets over it. His grieving does not continue. When you come to him and ask him to forgive you, he's filled with joy. You can't give Jesus any greater joy than to make an effort to serve him and to confess your sins when you commit them. Well, I got 3 minutes here. How far can I go? We'll see. We are meant to be converted to a new way of love that he plants within us at the new birth. All saved men and women are heaven-bound by God's grace in the new birth from above. But due to the stubbornness of the soul in response to the Spirit alongside it, they are not converted and waste their lives out of a lack of working fellowship with God. Some people never will develop a working fellowship with God. They waste their whole lives. Oh, they don't go to hell because salvation is by grace. Jesus indicated the 11 all had a need for this conversion. So I'm going to finish with these next two verses, and that way I'll finish by 7. Luke 22, 28 through 34, and then I'll comment on these next Sunday night, Lord willing. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Jesus was tried all of his life. These men walked with him. Remember, this is Luke 22, and Judas isn't there anymore. And I appointed you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Some people have said to me, well, I'm just interested in going to heaven. I'm not interested in this kingdom thing. And I'm not interested in my heavenly status. The Lord will take care of all that. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. What kind of a love is that? That's not love at all. That's ingratitude. And people need to change that attitude. You all loved your mother. Leroy loves his mother. Tried doing as much as you can to please him, to help him. Well, Jesus doesn't need our help. But when we try to please him, it certainly does give him great joy and satisfaction. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. I'm more concerned about that in people that join this church than I am anything else. My flesh doesn't give a rip about much of anything except itself. But my soul is grieved, and I'm often afraid that people, after they join this church, well, their faith will fail them. And something will happen, and they'll quit following Jesus. And you can't follow Jesus outside of his local body, no matter how hard you try. He says, and when thou art converted, my goodness gracious, here's a man that's saved, scripturally baptized. It's the last chapter of Luke, or close to it. And when thou art converted, he needed to be converted. He'd been personally with Jesus for more than 3 years. He was saved, scripturally baptized. He was a disciple, a follower, a taught one. He said, strengthen thy brethren. Now notice what Peter said. And he said to them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That sounds about like me when God called me to preach. Lord, I'll do anything you want. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Boy, I wasn't anywhere close to ready. I don't guess I ever will be in this life. But it's been quite a trail. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. I'm so afraid. And I do care. I care more than you'll ever know. I care spiritually. I'm always so afraid that after you've been saved and scripturally baptized, and after you've made a real fling at getting in there and serving Jesus, that all of a sudden, when the heat's put on you, and when it really gets down to nitty-gritty, and you see how weak you are, and you quit following. Oh, I won't show you outwardly on the surface, but it breaks my heart, my saved heart. Doesn't matter to my carnal man. You're just a number to my carnal man. But the one who lives inside me, when it bothers him, it bothers my soul. It wasn't just Peter. Matthew 26, 35 through 34 through 35. Here's Luke's account. Now let's look at Matthew's because it gives a little more detail. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Everybody always jumps on poor old Peter. But look at this next verse. Look at this next phrase. Likewise also said all the disciples. It was not just Peter that made that rash statement. All of the 11 say the same thing. So, I've gone 2 minutes over, but I'll continue next Sunday night.